We're going to learn a little bit about the tefillah toward the end of davening, tefillah of Aleinu. What happens in the event that a person is not up to Aleinu, you walk into a shul, you begin it? So it's brought down in the Piskei Tshuvos, Nimsa b'beisach neses, atzibur omrim Aleinu l'shabeach. You find that the tzibur is saying Aleinu, even that's not what you're up to. Im omid. So what is the din? Yomar Yimahem. You should actually recite it together with them. However, this is only if you just walked in and you're not really in the middle of anything. Im Yomar Omid B'Tfila Psuk V'Zimra B'Koshkin B'Kriyishma B'Yorchaseha Lo Yomar Yimahem. If you're already in the middle of the davening, so even though they're saying Aleinu and it's important to not separate yourself from the tzibor, but because you already are in the middle of a tefillah, you should not recite it. Rather, that's what he says you should do. Yamod al raglov, you should still stand up. Vigam yichur ma'at b'shoshat tzibur kayu, that you should also bow a little bit together with everyone else, even though you're not saying anything. But the idea is that it gives the impression that you're not completely being parish from the tzibur. You're part of the tzibur, and that as they are acknowledging Hashem's oneness and their humility by bowing down before Him, you should do precisely the same thing. It's brought down in the Shals and Shuvas asked the Minchas Chinuch, what happens if a person is not davening at all? And said, let's say they're learning, right? And they davened already. And now a later minyan is in the middle of the davening, and they're up to Aleinu. So in the middle of my learning, should I stop my learning and say Aleinu with them? Or maybe it's not necessary at all. So he says as follows, Dehu adin ha'osek Belumudo in Chaim Lahafsik. He says the truth is you don't have to stop your learning to say Aleinu, actually to say it with them. El Yamod al Raglov Yichur Ma'at. Same as a person in the middle of davening, you could at least stand up and bow down with everyone else. But he says, Imadavar lo yafriya lo me'iun tefillah. That a person does so, it's not going to detract away from their learning, that's not an issue. Of course, if they're completely engaged in their learning, then perhaps we're not going to even require him to do that. Now, how does a person go and bow during this part of Aleinu? So he says as follows, from a Madaktikim, those who are very particular in the way they bow, this is how it should be done. Korim of Abirkehem Ma'at, person should bow down, bending their knees first a little bit. B'shosh omrim, at the time when they say v'anachnu korim. When you say v'anachnu, when we korim, korim is referring to bending of the knees. So b'shosh omrim mishtachavim, when a person then says mishtachavim, that mishtachav barosh of a gufo. That's when a person should actually bow down the head as well as one's body. So says the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo, as well as brought down the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that that's really what we're doing when we're saying V'nachnu Korim. Korim represents the bowing, bending of the knees. V'mishtachavim is the actual body and the head. Now, perhaps one of the most controversial parts of Aleinu is the part which is found in parentheses, at least in the Art Scroll Siddur, that some people do not recite something in Aleinu in the first paragraph, and some do. Paragraph which in the sentence it says Shehem Mishtachvim Lehevel Varik Mispalon El Kel Yosh El El Yoshia, and it says in the way that's translated as we're gonna talk about that. For they bow to vanity and emptiness and pray to a god, lowercase g, which helps not. And we're gonna talk for a few moments about this. But in the Art Scroll Siddur, it's in parentheses, and there's a very long commentator brought down by the Siach Yitzchak, which we'll talk about in a few moments. Now, the question therefore is: should it be said? Was it said? Why don't some of us say it? And also, there's another interesting minhag that some people do, which has to do with spitting. Some people actually will spit during this part of the tefillah. Question is, does that make, why do they do it? Is it wrong? Spitting in shul doesn't seem appropriate. So it says like this. For those people that do recite this tefillah, this part of Aleinu, V'chein hoye minhag od mikadmonim l'rok r'kika k'shem nusav zed. They say that there are some people that are no way to actually to spit. It's questionable how exactly it's done in a dignified manner, especially in the shul, but they would do so when they would recite this particular nusach. Chochein, im yakmid larik kodem v'anachnu karim v'im yorok rak ma'at min hamat shuli hekenegdo harak mimnei chavera v'nimas. The Gemara says in Chagiga that a person who spits in front of their friend, that is one individual, she'en lo chelok olam haba. They're not going to be granted a portion of what to come. And furthermore, you would maybe think that based on the Shulchan Aruch, it says, the aser l'roik b'beitach nasas, a person is not allowed to spit in shul. So therefore, maybe a person should not be allowed to do so. So it's brought down that leislan bav a shaper ovid lahaksik b'minag kanmoin. If this is the person's minhag, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing so, and they're not violating anything whatsoever. And there are those people that would do this, such as Hagoyin Rav Knievsky, as well as the Maral would be known that when they would recite this part of Aleinu, that they would actually spit. Some were makbid not to, such as the Arizal felt it was not dignified a person, he would not do this. Now, what exactly is the significance of this sentence found in Aleinu? So he says as follows: the nusach zeh shemishtachvim lehevel, who nusach kanmon shuva v'sidurim hayishin. You person would look in the older texts, the older sidurim, you would actually find this sentence is not in parentheses like we find in our more modern sidurim. And it says it's brought down as early as the time of the Rishonim. Times like Gabrashi, 900, 1,000 years ago or so. But even earlier than that, some say, it's brought down in the Gaonic period by the Chuvas Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon, as we're going to get to in a second, going back to what he says here, he explains in great detail that Tefilas Oleinu L'Shemeach, the whole Tefillah, Sheniskan Alidei Yoshua Ben Nun, that Yoshua Ben Nun, when he crossed the Yardane, during that era of time, some say by Yericho, but nonetheless, Yoshua was the author of Aleinu. And this is what Rav Haigon says, and furthermore in his work, he says, in this Nusach, Mishtach, Shehe Mishtachavim, etc. So we see that even in the Gaonic period, it's found. It was found in such Sidurim. And on the side, Rav Haigon tells us as a hint that Aleinu was actually written by Yoshua ben Nun, is that if a person would count, which I did, starting from Aleinu up until almost the very end of Aleinu, where it says, before V'ne'emar, he says, that's Kaminyan ben Nun. He says it's 152 words, which is the same numerical value as ben Nun, Yoshua ben Nun. The problem, unfortunately, is getting a little bit too serious when it comes to gematrias. Because when a person would take gematrias extremely seriously, then it can cause some serious problems. That's what he discusses here. He says that v'ramzubo b'gematria oso ish v'gam shel ha'yishma'elim. We're going to talk about what I just said. And because of certain gematrios, which we're going to go into for a moment, Rutsos hadoros hushmet barov hasidur machmas yiras hasendayur, that there was persecution, again in greater detail by other religions upon this particular sentence, and maybe it was alluding to their religions and their gods. And he explains as follows: what exactly? How would anyone possibly deduce that we're speaking about another religion? So he says as follows: that if we would look at the word barik, which spits, right? Interestingly enough, if you would look at another name, a name of a person who is Yeshu, Echad ben Shelosh Osios, this person Yeshu has three letters in his name, Asara v'Shelosh Meos v'Shisha. We find that his numerical value of Yeshu is 316. And if you would look at the word barik, which means and spit, it's also 316. And when it comes to another religion, a person who was the leader of the Ishmaelim, who his name does not have three letters, but Arba Osios, four letters, and he spells it out Arboim. The first one is numerical value of 40, which is a mem, and then you have a ches, and then you have a mem, and then you have a dalid, which would spell out this person, the leader of this religion, This corresponds to another gematria of L'el lo Yoshia. And therefore, some people will read this sentence in Aleinu, Shehem Shtachdim Lehevel Varik. That Varik is referring to that religion, and we're spitting. And we're spelling El, and that's referring to a different religion than Ve'anachnu Korim. Because this was such a controversial statement, it was taken out of many Sidurim. Some people say it, some people don't. But nonetheless, in conclusion, we have to remember exactly the words of Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon said that this was not written 200 years ago, 500 years ago. The author of Aleinu was Yehoshua ben Nun. Yehoshua ben Nun, who wrote and composed this tefillah, he obviously was before these religions ever came about. Exactly. And the reason why Yehoshua wrote this was he was speaking about people who were Ovid Avodah Zarah, idol worshippers, but idol worshippers who lived in their generation, his generation. Certainly not alluding to something which was going to happen many, many years after his passing. But nonetheless, this is the reason why some people recite it, and unfortunately why it was taken out, and the seriousness of how some people could look at a gematria and end up spreading terrible rumors and causing tremendous problems for Klal Yisrael.